It's real easy to see the sins in others. You're guilty of committing yourself. And so one of the things that happens to you is that you get overburdened with whatever what's going on with everybody else. Generally speaking, if you're overly consumed and concerned with other people's issues, you're the one with the issue. Amen. Good preaching. I know it's Sunday school, but so many people are trying to say, if you just do this, and if you just do this, and if you just do this, as if they got it all together. None of us have it all together. We need only for just a phone call to come our way or just catch some bad news somewhere else. The next thing you know, you find out how close to falling apart you really are. Now, this thing about conscience is God giving you a GPS system that He works through the Holy Spirit. Before you get saved, He uses your conscience to try to keep you moving in the right direction, and that would be toward God. But if you choose not to listen to it, your conscience can be defiled. We talked about that. Your conscience can get dirty. We talked about that. Your conscience can be evil. We talked about that. Your conscience can be seared. That means no light gets in at all. When if somebody continues to kick their conscience to sleep, it gets turned upside down, and that which should be right is now wrong, and that which is wrong is now right. You're living in a day and time now where the political climate is shaped more by personal thoughts, beliefs, ideas, and idealism than it is shaped by truth. I showed you from the Bible that absolute truth becomes your foundation. It becomes the go-to thing. I can't trust my emotions. Modern preachers will touch the emotions. A real preacher will touch your conscience. You say, why? Your conscience is what will make the change. Your emotions, you can bawl and squall and cry, get happy, jump, run, hop, skip, doesn't matter, yell, run around the building, fall over, flop around, get somebody to cover you up, get slain in the spirit, speak with another tongue instead of having a bridle for the one you have. You can do all of those things like that. That's an emotional experience. Doesn't do you any good at all when it comes to changing your mind. An emotional experience doesn't change your mind. Your conscience is where that comes in. Amen. So what does God do? God deals with through the Holy Spirit after you're saved with your conscience. And He uses your conscience to speak to you, to tell you yes or no, right or wrong. The conscience doesn't think in and of itself. It has to be instructed. That's why it's important for you to fill your conscience with the right thing. That's that book you have in your lap. Amen. You say, why? That's the only thing that is true and pure down here now. Amen. Now, I don't mean to be harsh when I'm fixing to say what I'm going to say. None of us that are listening to me are pure now. Amen. Your soul is clean. It's sealed to the day of redemption. But your flesh is as unclean as it was the day it got saved. Yes, your flesh didn't get saved. Right. Your standing is I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. This is hard for people to grab a hold of. This is what causes you to think you've lost your salvation, or this is what causes you, your why. Your emotions are not seated there. Your emotions are seated over here connected with your flesh. How do you feel about it? Right. Well, what is the truth about it? Right. Well, I don't like it. Okay, whether you like it or not, what's the truth about it? Right. See, you determine an individual by their willingness to, one, accept truth, and two, how well they'll take a rebuke. That means rebuke means they have to admit they were... That's a tough one. You mean I actually could be wrong? Yeah, you know what? The older you get, the harder it is to admit, you know what, I'm wrong. You know what happens with older people? You know, one of the least things comes out of your mouth are two words, I'm sorry, or I was wrong. You say, why? You think you get a pass on truth. You don't get a pass on truth. Truth never goes away. Dealing with people up there in northern Michigan, they're no different than people down here in southern Florida or mid-Florida or upper Florida or anywhere else. The problem is human nature. Human nature has been instructed now to ignore absolute truth and to have what we call abstract truth or situational ethics. That means it's a generalized way of thinking about things, but on occasion you have to adapt that truth to your situation. You're in a mess right now. You say, why? Absolute truth doesn't adapt. It is or it isn't. It's black and white. It's up or down. There's no middle, gray, fence riding. I'm just not really sure. It's right or it's wrong. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. All things are lawful, right? But all things are not expedient. That's just another word for saying all things are lawful, but all things aren't good for you. You can do it, but there's consequences that go with that. So when it comes to this thing about your conscience, God gives that to you, but it's incumbent upon you. That means it rests upon you. It is your responsibility to instruct your conscience. It is your responsibility to show your conscience the measuring stick whereby it is to help you with decisions. You run through that thing and the conscience says to you, it's not right. You don't need to know all the details as to why. You just need to know right now, he said, don't take the tree. I ain't taking it. I'm out. But that conscience getting kicked to sleep will cause you to sit there and keep staring and thinking and looking and pondering. And, well, I mean, why would he even do that? Well, because he's trying to hold you down, sister. He's trying to keep you from being like God. He's trying to make you stupid, to make you look foolish, to make you see how it's appealing to your emotions, see how it appeals to your pride, see how it appeals to your station in life. Yeah, he's just putting you down. He's just making little of you. He's just thinking you're nothing. That's why he wouldn't let you do that. He's just trying to hold you down. The Lord said, no, I'm trying to protect you. Amen. You know what the prodigal's problem was? The prodigal's problem was is he saw his father's place of protection as a prison. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a prison. No. Those walls around that place, those fences around that place right there were to keep him from the pig pen. It was to help him. But you know what he figured? Oh, shoot, man. What are they keeping me in for? Why are they trying to hold me back? Trying to keep me from realizing all the things to do. That father knew some things about the places that were out there. And he said, you shouldn't go. And he said, give me the portion belongs to me. I'm out of here. You say, why? Well, because that conscience kicked to sleep. I'm going to go try it for myself. I'll be the exception to the rule. I was at a youth camp one time and preaching about some things along the ways and things I had seen in my life and some experiences I had had. And a kid came up there and said, well, some of those people made it back. How do you know I won't make it back? I said, you know what an old preacher told me one time? He said one of the things he hated most about having to give his testimony was to sometimes talk about the things that he came back from. And he said, but you know what he told me? He told me, just because I made it back don't mean you will. He said, don't you use me as an excuse because I made it back. He said, I made it back, but doesn't mean you will. I remember that picture I've got in my office of Brother Jim standing there on that wall up there in Washington. And he's got his hand on a name, a friend of his right there. And he turns around and underneath them dark sunglasses, them tears are trickling down his cheeks, man, like somebody turned on a water faucet. I said, what's the matter, buddy? He said, well, I'm wondering how come I made it back and he didn't. He said, I was lost. I'd be in hell right now burning. He said, I'd have never met you. I'd have never known anything about you. Never known anything about Jesus Christ. Never known nothing. I'd have been in hell burning. I'm positive that guy's in hell. How come I made it back? Listen, just because you're here today, don't you think you're something special because you've been there and got back? That's by the grace of God you got back. You didn't get back because, you know, well, I'm somebody. And if I go, listen, you're a fool. I wouldn't use an expletive there, but if I could. If I could make that word louder to you in a way other than volume, if I could make you understand, you are a fool if you think, just because they made it back, I'll make it back. You don't control that. You have no. You're a fool to think you have that kind of control over your life. It's one of the things I've seen these guys come through, and sometimes you're in bad situations you walk away from, but the more of those situations you walk away from, the more dangerous it is for you. You say, why? You start getting lackadaisical. You start getting careless. They've proven in war the most time you're susceptible to getting killed is the first 2 months going in and the last 2 months of staying. You say, why? The first 2 months, you had no sense. You don't know how things work. The last 2 months, you've escaped so much of it, you think you're invulnerable. You're impenetrable. You'll make it through. Listen, some of you have been through some terrible things and God's gotten you through. Don't relax. Amen. Amen. Don't turn down the heat. Don't back off. Don't go into cotton-picking spiritual retirement. You know, well, I've done my time. No. There ain't no retirement in this until you're laying 6 foot under or the rapture happens. You say, why? You can't let the pedal off the metal. I mean, you let it off for 15 minutes. I'm talking 15 minutes and buddy, and in 15 minutes, you can make decisions that'll ruin your lifetime. Some of you got them on the table right now, don't you? Some of you got some things that you're messing around with, thinking about and considering and pondering, and you're kind of looking at that tree thinking, well, if I do that, I mean, if I just do it that one time, if I can get by with that thing. You know, Christians are an amazing lot to me. They worry about everything. They worry about, well, I'm going to do the will of God when I find it, but right now I got to get this done and this done and this done and this done, and then I'll do that. Yes. How about right now?
Amen.
How about right now? How about getting busy right now? You say what? You find the will of God on the road to duty.
Amen.
Just get busy now. Amen. Stop waiting around, kicking it around. You say why? Because every moment you hesitate is a moment you can mess up.
Yes.
I mean, boy, hesitate, regurgitate comes to mind. Make you think some things in your life sometimes. Man, what in the world am I doing in this place? I see that distant look in your eyes. It's not because you've been up all night, been clubbing. I see that distant look in your eyes. I see that. Whew. One, the cat hairs, he's bringing it up in Sunday school because some of you will duck out before church. You'll kick that conscience and get in the car and keep on going, and you turn up that music louder and louder and louder until you can't hear him talk no more. You don't want to listen to it. You say, why? God put that thing in there like a Paul's thorn in the flesh, a messenger to buffet you, to just constantly stick you. You say, what? That's one of the greatest things you could ever do. You know what he said to the Apostle Paul? I'm going to get to this in just a second. God, let me blow the cream off a little bit. I've been going at it pretty hard this week. Listen to me. But the Apostle Paul's there on the road to Damascus, gets knocked off of his beast, right? You remember that? Probably a horse. I don't know. It might have been a giraffe for all I know. It might have been an elephant. Who knows? But probably a horse. Say, oh, I think it was a donkey. Okay, well, you make it whatever you want. He was on an animal.
Right.
And he fell off the animal. The Lord knocked him off, and he's down there in the dirt. You know what the Lord said to Paul?
Come on, brother. Yep.
It is hard for thee to kick against the what?
Bricks. Bricks.
How about that? You say, what's he doing? You know what that thing's likened unto? It's like an ox goad. Any of you, you older folks might, I don't mean any disrespect. I got to always qualify things nowadays. It's the people that grew up in a generation where you could yell at somebody and not get upset, now they're the ones that are offended or something. I don't get that. I mean, my teachers in my class would say, shut up, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and he called me stupid. I can't believe he called me. He's like, well, the evidence is, you know, you never, my coaches, man, I thought I was in stinking, you know, boot camp or something. My coaches would have those come to Jesus meetings when their face was in your face mask. You ever had one of those? They got one of their fingers and they're tickling your ear with their middle finger there, and they got their thumb in your face mask, and you're up there. You could sit there and say, Daddy, you know what he said to me? The coach is like, I don't know where he got that. I didn't, you know, because it's between you and him. But man, I mean, so close, you can see the filling in his teeth. And nowadays it's funny. You know, I don't like how he spoke to me. I don't. What is that? You got to be so careful nowadays. You know what happens? What happens, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lord comes down and says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, that's just your opinion. Okay. Sorry if I offended you. Paul said, if I become your enemy, if I tell you the truth. You know what an ox goad is? An ox goad is a long piece of wood, and it's got a big long nail in the end of it. And you know what they do? Because oxen are generally slow. They're very sure, but they're slow. You know what they do? They take that ox goad and they hit him right just below the haunches there in the back end. They don't hit him up in the tail end. It's too hard, too much fat up in here. They hit him right down there just before the bend in that back knee, and they pop him with that thing, and that thing makes him get going like that. You know what he said to Paul? What's the matter? Something sticking you?
Yep.
Something bothering you? Something upsetting you?
That's good.
Hard for you, but you keep kicking at that thing for Paul. Stop kicking me. The Lord's like, I ain't going to quit kicking. That ox can kick against that thing all day long. You know what'll happen? It don't change the thing at all. All it does is hurt the ox. Nowadays, they use a cattle prod. You never been hit till you've been hit with one of those. These guys have tasers today. They'll make you come to Jesus. I'm just telling you. You know, go ahead and ask them. Now, say, just walk up to one of them that's got a taser. Say, I'd like to have a full ride. And he might oblige you. You'll be hollering from then on, don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me, bro. That thing will make you come to Jesus, man. I mean, you thinking, oh, I can take it. You can't take a cattle prod. That cattle prod man's got full of batteries on the backside. He's got two little prongs like this, and you're up close and personal with that cow where you're running them through the chute and trying to get them in where you can get their head locked down so you can pregnancy test them, lop off their horns and give them the brand and give them all their worming and shot. Yes, I've done that before when I was in high school. And you sit up there, and if they don't get in line, all you do is, you don't have to go just like that. You just go zip like that, man. And buddy, they are stinking flying through there. Now, if that can make a 1,000 or 1,200 pound steer move, what do you think it'd do if that thing hit you? That thing can be a come to Jesus. You know what it ought to be? When God speaks to you, it ought to be like that cattle prod. You know what the Lord's saying when he's convicting you? He's saying, come to Jesus.
Yes.
Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. And some of you just keep ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it. And your life is a shambles. And the Lord's like, imagine that. I can make it without Jesus. Well, how's that working out for you? You're saved people, the majority of you here. And some of you, you're no more in fellowship with the Lord than a billy goat. Your conscience has been kicked to sleep and you're doing stuff right now that you know doctrinally, truth-wise, is wrong. But it don't bother you to do it anymore. Brother Roger, you turn the air conditioner on. I got people fanning in here besides just me. All right, now I want to talk to you about this thing because the Apostle Paul's teaching here Timothy some things, and he's going to talk about the latter times. I hear people tell us all the time, preach to us about prophecy. Why? So that you don't have to involve conviction? Tell us what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. I ain't going to be here. You want to know about Revelation, and it'll be uploaded here before too long, I guess, or whatever, but there's a couple of hundred tapes and hours and hours and hours of Revelation. We went verse by verse and all that other stuff. But the bottom line is that book of Revelation ain't going to help you live a better life.
That's right.
You know what you do? You get to thinking about future events. It doesn't change your life here and now.
Right.
Talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Now we're getting personal.
Amen.
Talk about facing Jesus one day after all he's done for you. Now we're getting personal. All that, you know, well, I haven't heard you talk about prophecy. Where do you think Donald Trump fits into prophecy? Same place Kim Jong-un and everybody else fits in. If you're saved, you go to heaven, there's your prophecy. And if you're not, you go to hell, there's your prophecy. What, don't you think God's using him? You know, the last Trump and all. What is wrong with you? If you're over in another country right now and somebody tells you that, why would you think the whole world was stimulated by what happens in America?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense at all. In Germany, they're thinking, oh man, the Antichrist is on the throne.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a diversionary tactic to keep the focus off of you.
Yeah.
Now, be honest. In everywhere else in life, you want the attention on you. Unless it's the Holy Spirit hitting you with a cattle prod.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if most preachers preached, if Jesus preached the way most preachers preach today, they'd have never crucified him.
That's right.
Yeah, let that one sink in for a minute. Wouldn't have created any problem at all. You say, why? Coping and sharing and loving and getting along, and how do we get along in this world, and we're still able to be in the world but not of the world, but we got to be with the world. If I hear one more person say, well, preacher, I'm just trying to be all things to all men that I might win some. You ain't won none. What you're doing ain't working. You're just using that to keep living a worldly Christian life. You know, I'm just going to keep on. Mm-mm. You ain't fooling me at all. I guess I'm getting old enough now, I get frustrated with it. Sometimes I can't say what I think. Sometimes I want to go, you're lying, man. Come on, stop it. Just quit lying, man. The ground's going to open up and swallow you here like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, or the Lord's going to strike you dead like Ananias and Sapphira. You're lying in the church house. Stop it. Quit lying. But the lying continues. You say, why? Their conscience being seared. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's a warm-up. We're going to have a good time this morning. We're going to have a great time in the church service. Hope you can come and hope you packed your lunch. If not, we have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. They might be sardines, but nonetheless. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Expressly, with vehemence, with importance, expressly, particularly. He's dealing with a subject. No questions about it. He's emphasizing. That's the word I'm looking for. The Spirit speaketh expressly, without any doubt, without any question, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That ought to shake you to the core. You say, why? You could be in that some.
Yes.
You say, how do you know? Well, right past the S is an O me. That's how you spell some. You say what? Right past the crook in the road there is an O me. Could be me.
Yes.
Some shall depart from the faith. How do they give heart? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. All right, now I want to deal with this thing before I get onto this thing as far as the conscience is concerned, with it being purged or cleansed. You might need to know some things about demonic openings. Do you see that in the passage? Seducing spirits. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and come to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I'm going to give you some demonic openings in your life. Now, I don't know, and I get laughed at sometimes. You know, I was at a place not too awful long ago, and I was preaching, and a couple other guys there were preaching, and, you know, they were like, you know, well, I'm not like Brother Peacock, you know, things that go bump in the night don't bother me. You know, it's like, okay. They still scare me. I'm not ashamed to say that. They still bother me, man. They bother me like when we were in Romania. I've told you that story over there. There was something in that house. You said, well, I don't believe that. Okay, well, I don't care. Scared me. It was real to me. It's like puppy love. It may be puppy love, but it's real to the puppy. And so these things, when it comes to spiritual influences, I'm a spiritual being. You say, why? Because I'm saved. I'm born again. I have inside me a spirit. Now, here's a scary thing. If you're lost, you got a dead spirit. And man, dead things draw dead things. That's where ghoulie monsters like to hang out. You know where the devil-possessed man of Gadaring was? He's in the tombs. Hanging out around dead things. That's why some of you go to dead Baptist churches. Dead things draw dead things. I don't like dead things. That's another service. Mark chapter 3, demonic openness, satanic influences. You say you're going to start preaching to us about rock and roll music and all that. You ought to have enough better sense than that. You honestly believe that's all there is just turn off your music and quit going to the bar and you're good to go? Well, then how does the devil get to you? Well, notice this. Look in Mark chapter number 3 and look at verse number 22. The Bible said the scribes came down from Jerusalem, and he hath Beelzebub, the prince of devils, and casteth he out devils. And he called unto them, and he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If the kingdom's divided, and so on and so forth. He's talking about the blasphemy that takes place there, and that has nothing to do with blasphemy in the Holy Ghost. It has to do with attributing what Jesus Christ is doing, given the power coming from the devil. And he has to be present there. There's only one unpardonable sin you can commit right now in this day and age, and that's to reject Jesus Christ.
Yes.
These charismatics, you know what they say? You're saying, you know, you're committing blasphemy when I say what you're doing is of the devil. It is of the devil. You say, why? The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost has to do with me seeing Jesus Christ right there and saying he's casting out devils by the devil. Well, Jesus ain't here. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I know some of you think you're little Jesus, but at any rate, Jesus is not, that's funny. Jesus is not here, so I can't accuse him. But what's the unpardonable sin? It's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. No, it's not. No, it's not. You know what the unpardonable sin is? Reject Jesus Christ. You can't come back from it. You're in hell, you don't get another chance. That'll put you in hell so fast, man, it'll make your head swim. But here's what I want you to see. You know who Beelzebub is? All you have to do is get a dictionary. Get a good one. Get an 1828. Don't get all these modern versions of newer words and better words and new adjectives and adverbs and all that other kind of stuff. Don't get the, get an old one and look at what they say. A lot of times Webster will go to the Bible for his definitions of words. You know what Beelzebub is? It's Lord of the Flies. You know what flies like? Filth. You know one of the demonic openings in your life as a Christian? Filth. Filthy stuff, nasty stuff, filthy mouth, filthy food and drink and filthy drugs and filthy this and filthy whatever's filthy, filthy television. What goes in your eye affects your heart. You keep watching that. It doesn't have to just be pornographic in nature. It can have all kind of things, innuendos to wash your mind, to wash your brain, to make you stop thinking the right way. Just to make you think, well, now, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a point, and maybe we should. Well, you know, they can't really help it. They were born that way. That's propaganda.
Yes.
That's propaganda. They were not born that way. Well, preacher, you know, I know them and I love them and all that. See where you just went? That's your emotions. That's your emotions. Well, you know, preacher, you know, there's such a bad thing with the law nowadays. You know how it is. If you get married and then you get divorced and she gets half of what you got and all this, she might get more than half nowadays. So now what you did was just justify shacking up. See how that hits right there? You're like, well, but preacher, you know, the divorce causes. You don't tell me that they're shacked up together and then there's kids there and that just because they're now separated instead of divorced, that it doesn't do the same damage? Where's your brain at? Where's the lack of commitment of that man telling you, I'm going to marry you? Where's the commitment? If you guys are teaching that, you must be whoremongers, I guess. You're just thinking about jumping from place to place and woman to woman to woman. You change women as much as you change your cotton picking underwear. You say, why? It's an acceptable thing. You know, the Lord made me this way. You, with an insatiable appetite? No, anything with an appetite has to be controlled.
Amen.
Don't put that on God, you filthy
Amen.
Dog, you.
Amen.
Nowadays, they're making women to be that way. You know, well, boy, I sure would like to meet one like, see? That physical desire. Where's that desire, ma'am, on your part to be classy and to have a little bit of education instead of just always talking about, they just think I'm stupid. Well, you keep talking like that, you sound stupid.
Amen.
You just think I'm stupid. Okay, well, keep talking. Your Honor, I rest my case. You got something to say? Educate yourself.
Amen.
Don't just go off on emotion. Just, you know, I'm just so upset. Okay, great. Can you get that emotion under control and give us a little truth? No, you're like a raging bull. You see that red flag and, buddy, you're going to pin it to the wall. You're going to butt it to death. Yeah, but. Come to Acts chapter number 7. Acts 7. Now, God bless you. This is Sunday school. I'll be gentler on the visitors when they come in. You say, what do you need? It's that filth. It's everywhere around you nowadays. Everywhere you turn around, it's that filth everywhere around. It's commonplace. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion. And I got in trouble before when I said this because, you know, I got this devotion kindly given to me by a dear sainted old woman that I was trying to tell her how to raise her kids. I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your kids, but I'm going to make a definitive statement. You are an absolute fool. If you leave that kid unchecked on that computer or that telephone while they're living in your household, and I don't care if you don't like me for telling you that, you're an absolute fool or you got a guilty conscience yourself and you figure long as they're busy over there, then they might not be looking at what you're doing. You know, don't, it ain't time to pray yet. You're like, well, I just, you know, some of you grandmas and grandpas are raising your kids now, raising other people's kids now and stuff like that, and you're afraid because you just want to love them into the kingdom. That ain't God.
Right.
God will blister your posterior. But, you know, nowadays it's just this no holes bar. Just take the chains off. Let the kids decide. I'm glad I was raised when my daddy said, you're too dumb to let to decide. I'll decide for you. My mom decided what I was eating. You say, why? I'd have been eating Captain Crunch all the time. You ever had Captain Crunch? They even made the peanut butter flavor. Or Fruit Loops. Or here's a good one for you. That shredded wheat with sugar on it. You can eat a whole box of that stuff, man. Well, you're getting wheat. It's one of the food groups.
Yeah.
That stuff's got enough sugar in man to feed China. Look at this thing. Number one, moral impurities, filthiness, satanic influences. Number two, look in Acts 7 verses, we'll pick it up around verse number 9. I'll just tell you the story real quick. This is the story of Joseph. You know what happens? Another influence will be in your life. It'll be bitterness and covetousness and envy. The Bible said they moved against the Lord for envy's sake. You know what the story is you're reading right there, Brother John? You're reading the story about Joseph. You know what the Bible says about Joseph? His brothers envied him. They moved against him with envy. Joseph's one of the greatest type, 152 particulars in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. You say, what'd they do? He wasn't doing nothing wrong. He told them the truth. They didn't like what he had to say. They threw him in a pit. He wound up in Potiphar's house, falsely accused, wound up in prison and all that kind of stuff. You say, why? Envy and strife and division. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he said, when I came to you, I would have given to you some strong meat. I wanted to feed you strong meat. But he said, I couldn't feed you because you were not yet carnal. Whereas, he's going to show you what carnal is. He said, well, that's just fleshly lusts and fleshly desires and going the wrong places. No, he said, whereas there's envy and strife and division among you. Are you not yet carnal? You know what he said? When you're still doing that, you know what Paul did? Not me. You know what Paul just said? If you still have that going on in you right now, you know what he just called you? He called you a baby. Right. You ought to be offended. Right. He called you a baby.
Yep.
You say, how dare he? I'm telling you this is what Paul said. Well, preacher, why do you have to remind us? Well, because that's the right thing to do. Come to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. These are satanic influences. I have yet to bring up Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. I have yet to bring up AC/DC or Ozzy Osbourne biting heads off of bats or Black Sabbath or whoever in the cat hairs out there nowadays. I have no idea. You say, why? I don't run that circle and I don't use it as an excuse to look into it because I preach youth camps to find out what filth these kids are listening to. All I have to do is see how they're dressed and where they're hanging out and what they got going on around them. I don't need to even hear what they're saying. I got all I need to know. You say, why? They're messed up on the inside trying to fool you on the outside.
Amen.
I don't need to look at all this. So you say, what is just filthy, just wicked? I guess the reason you're attracted to that is because you like it. You say, what? Birds of a feather. Look at Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit, watch it, met us, which brought her masters much gain by what? You know, one of the things that will get you in trouble quicker than anything is chasing after prosperity. Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Doesn't it? Doesn't mean if you have it, you're sinning. It means if you love it, more than you love God, what if God tells you to turn it loose? You find out what you love. You know what happened over in Acts chapter number 8? Simon the sorcerer is over there, and Simon's able to do stuff, and people thought he had a special power of God, if you read the passages there, and he's able to do it. And the Bible said, and he was obtaining much gain by doing these things and having this demonic power. And then he claims to get saved, and what he wanted to do was to get the Holy Spirit, because he saw that when Peter was able to do the things he was doing, he said, man, if I could have what they got, if I could get the hookup, if I could get the parlor trick, find out what it is, man, could I make the dough. If you got saved because you think it's going to prosper you, well, that would cut out about 80% of the preachers today. Your prosperity is I inherit eternal life.
Amen.
I get a new home in heaven. I get a new body in heaven. I get eternal security. It's not physical prosperity, but you know what happens? He comes up there and he pulls out his dough there. Not a whole lot here, but he pulls out his dough. You know what he says to him? He said, hey, Pete, let me ask you a question. You guys are able to do some great things. How much that cost me? You know what Peter said? I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. You're trying to purchase something can't be purchased. You know what happens with that prosperity thing, that prosperity gospel? People chase after that, and then they name it and claim it, and they get themselves into all kind of trouble. And even after all the mask have been pulled off of all those people that have been out there, the charlatans that have been doing it for years, people still flock to it as if, well, that's, you know, I got saved. What? For what? Your answer should be to get out of hell.
Amen.
I got saved to fix my marriage. Okay, well, good luck with that. You may or may not. You may or may not, whether you get saved or not. Well, I got saved because of my health. Well, you might still die.
Right.
A lot of people do. My dad died when he was my age. Served the Lord his whole life. How you figure that? Jim, 54, other people you know. Young kids in here have died and gone on. You got saved to avoid death. You can't avoid it. You're going to die one day. I'm going to put you to bed with a shovel and put you in a box. Everybody's going to come by and talk nice about you. That'll be the one time they come by and speak nice about you. The rest of the time you're complaining about them talking behind your back. Now they're talking to your face and you can't even hear them speak to you. That's how Christians do sometimes. prosperity will get you. You say, what is that? It's a demonic opening. You say, what? Don't you want to have that tree and have the knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah,
all right, look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel, well, while you're in the New Testament, go to Ephesians 4. I'll get 1 Samuel 15 in a minute. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, here's some things that will get you into trouble. Ephesians chapter number 4, come all the way down to verse number 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then he comes down through that thing and he says that you may put on the new man after which God has created righteousness and true holiness. That means it requires effort on your part. Whereas, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's a whole bunch of things in that passage right there. It has to do with a number of entrances, not the least of which is anger. You let your anger get the best of you. That anger get a hold of you. You know what happens? The devil finds a comfortable spot right there. He brings him a pillow or two in there and props his feet up on the ottoman there, kicks back in the chair, says, bring me some iced tea. I'm perfectly comfortable here. You say, why? Because every time God starts to move, all I got to do is stir that anger. Every time God starts to move, all I got to do is stir that distrust. Every time God starts to move, that's all I got to do. You say, what? You give him place to the devil. I'll show you another one. Come to 2 Corinthians 4 or make it 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Just give you two more here and we'll take a break. We got a short baby dedication here this morning. And some of you are going to hear probably some surprising things in that. And then we'll have our regular church service. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. You want to show you another place for the devil? The Apostle Paul here is talking about a man who has been committing fornication and adultery with his stepmother. There's something about that that ought to trip your trigger.
Yeah.
That ought to just kind of be
disgusting.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yep.
It's disgusting. It ought to just kind of be like, it doesn't say who, doesn't say why, doesn't say how old she was, doesn't say what was going on, doesn't. Mm-mm. And what happens is the Apostle Paul tells them how to handle the thing with church discipline. But the problem with the Corinthian church was, is they were going around, Paul says it's noised abroad.
No.
You're talking about your graciousness toward people that are living in open sin. You might want to listen to this. Paul's getting on to them because of their graciousness toward people living in open sin. Wasn't secret, private, under the table, nobody knew, keeping it quiet. And those are things that should be kept quiet unless they're things that are illegal or immoral. And those things ought to have the lid blown off of them. In the old days, you know, you come to the church and you tell people things that are never supposed to be told. If they're a criminal or they're involving kids or they're involving a criminal act, guess what? You fixing to get outed.
Amen.
And I may not be all I used to be, but I'll hold on to you till they get here.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And I got enough people around here that'll help me hold you. You say, why? You ain't going to come dump that load of guilt on me and then say to me, well, it's pastor, a parishioner privilege. Here's the privilege I have. You tell me, I'm telling the police. I hope that's being broadcast everywhere. Well, I'm a sovereign citizen. Well, you're an idiot. You don't fit here. You say, why? You don't get to pick and choose what laws you want to abide by. That tells me what kind of Christian you are. You're using something biblical to try to duck governmental authority. You think you're smart. No, you're not. You're a rebel. 1 Samuel 15, that's the inhabitation of devils. You say, well, now, preacher, you know, there's No. You feel that bad about it, repent of it, and then make it right. If you did it, go down to the police station and tell them, I'm guilty. Well, you know, you would actually have. Yeah, you want to get right? See, you're not thinking about eternity at all. All you're thinking about is saving your cotton picking hide. You don't get to dump that on people here and then dirty up their minds and dirty up their families and dirty up their stuff by getting up and saying, you know what, I didn't expect the preacher to tell. I'm telling you now, don't tell me. I will out you.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you. I will out you. Before you talk, let me just tell you, where I think you're headed, I know 911. I still know 630-500 if it's not emergency. But when I'm done with you, you might want to call it yourself. You say, why? Well, I mean, I can't get trouble now for resisting or something. Now it's just citizen's arrest, and I'm just a poor little invalid old man. And I'm weak, and I was afraid for my life. And, you know, he was trying to get out the door and I was trying to get out of his way, and we just kind of got tangled up. And now, don't come in and lie for me, but I'm just saying. All right, now watch what happens. In verse number 10, Paul said the guy's gotten right and he wants to be forgiven. And verse number 10, the Bible says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgave also. Forgave anything, to whom I forgave it. For your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why should I forgive? Why should I have a forgiving spirit? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices.
Right. Amen.
Some of you still harbor an anger and wrath and bitterness toward people because you won't forgive them. And some of you won't let people forgive you. Come to 1 Samuel 15. I know I'm right on the button here, but just bear with me for just a second. Let me show you this. 1 Samuel 15. Now, if you're going to be here tonight, and I'll announce this later, got the trustees are going to be making an announcement to you about the building and all. We'll have a vote, and it won't be broadcast. And if you're a member of the church, you're welcome to be here, but it's going to be a business meeting on a Sunday night, and I hope and pray you'll be here. I think you'll be excited about what they have to say to you, So I doubt I'll have time to go into this stuff tonight. I want to take a little bit of time for that. It'll take time to get the votes in and all that other stuff. But I want to give you this and leave you on a good note. There's things you can do to allow the devil in or to keep the devil out. And I'm giving them to you. They all rest in the bosom of human nature. They all rest in what you are about yourself. That's why it's important to see how God wants you to be instead of how you feel you ought be. Or you know what can happen to you? Your culture can raise you up in an area. What is that thing that they had a long time ago? I don't know who it was that came up with it. It takes a community to raise a child or something. Have you looked to see what some communities have done to some children? You know what you're saying? You're saying people are smarter than God. If it takes a community, why only Adam and Eve? And they messed it up. Takes a community. Well, it takes a community to do that. You ever studied much about the Amish? They're completely separated. They don't even want electric lights. You ever studied that? How about the Mormons out in Salt Lake City? Little polygamy going on there? In the name of God? You know, all good for the men. Well, what about you women? How come ERA ain't there? How come the AFL-CIO isn't out there? How come all the stuff I hear about women's rights, how come you're not out there in Utah? Those are the most abused, sequestered women you ever seen in your life. And if you're born a daughter out there, your goose is cooked. You ain't nothing but a baby factory. You're for somebody's pleasure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Good preaching. That's how your brain let a community raise you. You better hope it's the right community. Bad community. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Samuel comes along here. He's talking to Saul. And notice what he says, verse 23, and I'll quit. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. There you go. He hath rejected thee from being king. What is he telling you? He's telling you he rejected the God-given authority. That was his rebellion. You rejected the word of the Lord. He told you what to do with Agag and with all the animals. You rejected doing what was right. Rebelling caused another spirit to come up there. And what we were trying to talk about is the fact that there's some things that are unclean, some demonic openings that you want to keep the doors closed. And you say, what is that? Just practical stuff. It's more than just turn off the television. People talk about all the time, you know, I want to do something great for God, and they don't even have the energy to get up and turn off the TV. I'm sorry, I don't mean to become your enemy because I tell you the truth. That's double speak for don't look too close. I want to do, they're always talking about what they're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why don't you just do what you need to do today? You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. You're thinking, when I'm there, I'm going to be the Roman calendar. I'm going to be the candle. I'm going to be the flashing example for everyone to follow. Okay, well, how about you just get at it right now? Your wife probably appreciate it. Kids probably appreciate it. So you're preaching to the men. Well, it's my crowd. I can't speak for being a woman. I don't know that I have the backbone to be a woman. I'm just saying, you got quiet there. You say, why? That's a rough deal, boy. Father, bless your word and thank you for it. Pray you'll be with us in the upcoming baby dedication and with the kids that are Jace that's going to be dedicated. And pray you'll be with the service and pray you'll allow us to have the free liberty of the Holy Spirit to preach what you've laid upon our heart this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.